Good evening. The scripture reading for the lesson will be Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Last Sunday evening, we talked about the language of Ashdod, in which we saw that the Jews, after the captivity because of their sins, we saw that some of them had intermarried with people of the land. And some had even intermarried with the Philistines, their longtime enemies. And things were so bad that half of their children did not even know their own language, but spoke in the language of Ashdod, one of the chief cities of the Philistines. Now, last week, we named a dozen concepts that have arisen from denominations and infiltrated the Lord's church. And we designated that by talking of such terms as the modern-day equivalent to the language of Ashdod. Now, in light of the review on the Bellevue book, Innovations, in the bulletin today, we would like to take one of the ideas of Ashdod that is talked about in the book. And that is the chapter that Jess Whitlock wrote on hand clapping or applause. And as mentioned in the bulletin this morning, he divided this lesson up into four points. C stands for, is there a command for applause or hand clapping? Brother Whitlock asked some rather pointed questions to illustrate the lack of a command that is given. And here are a couple of his sentences. The entire lesson will not be his, but he had some provocative things to say. And he opened up with one of those by saying, in Acts 20 and 7, did the disciples gather together to break bread and to applaud? Does 1 Thessalonians 5:17, does it teach that Christians should pray and clap their hands without ceasing? Did Jesus cite a scripture in Matthew 4:10 that says, you shall worship the Lord your God in applause and him only, give a standing ovation? Well, these are a little bit over the top as examples, but they do make a point, and that is that it highlights that we have a need for authority for all that we do. We looked at Ephesians 5:19. Let's look at that again. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Well, first of all, we have a command in this text that includes this verse to be wise. Now, it's expressed in negative terms, do not be unwise, but of course that is similar to saying, try to be wise. Be wise in these certain matters, don't be unwise. And the remedy is to understand what the will of the Lord is. In what? In all things. We should try to understand what the will of the Lord is. As it pertains to salvation is first and foremost, We must know what the will of the Lord is with respect to salvation. And as we mentioned this morning in the very first sermon on Pentecost, that included repentance and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But not only do we need to know that first and of all, we also need to be certain about what is correct worship. What is correct worship? Lest we be guilty of offering up false worship or vain worship. And Jesus talked about both. He talked about vain worship in Matthew 15, 1 through 9, and how that because they were not following New Testament or even Old Testament doctrine at that time, since they were under the Old Testament, that their worship was vain because their heart was far from God. Worship must be according to what God says, not according to what men like or what they want, but what God has commanded. So in order to redeem the time, we must understand what the will of the Lord is and what correct worship involves. And then we should know the fundamental teachings of the doctrine of Christ as set forth in the New Testament. Now, we also see in this text, Ephesians 5, 17 through 21, that we should not be drunk with wine, but if you want to be filled with something, be filled with the Spirit. And of course, the first question someone might ask in regard to that is, how does someone attain that? How is someone filled with the Spirit? And the answer is by giving himself over to the things of the Spirit. By taking upon himself the task of finding out how God defines spirituality and then subjecting himself, submitting himself to doing those things. So we have to be able to discern what is of the world, that is, what is fleshly, what is carnal, and what is of the Spirit. What is spiritual? And the New Testament defines these things for us so that we don't have to wonder, and the definitions are pretty explicit. There are plenty of lists that list worldly, fleshly, carnal things. Romans 1, 29 through 32. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And various other texts in the New Testament that outline what is worldly, what is fleshly, but also what is spiritual. Well, in Ephesians 5:19, we find that we are to speak to one another, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, the Bible does not say, and you can add anything to that that you want. It doesn't say to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs while you're stomping your feet, clapping your hands, or humming or whistling or yodeling. None of those things are accompaniment. The emphasis is on the spiritual, that we are singing spiritual things to one another. Singing is worship to God and edification to one another. So we are praising God and we are edifying one another, and there is nothing said about adding instruments of music which cannot speak, which cannot teach, which cannot admonish. But it's something that people like because it sounds good. But notice that the purpose for singing is not to sound good, but rather to praise God and to teach one another. Clapping can't do that. Whistling can't do that. Humming can't do that. Instruments of music can't do that. Words do that. And that is what God and says for us to do. That's what we're authorized to do. So we want to, when we sing, praise God and teach each other. The next thing in this passage is that we should be thankful to God in all things. And fifth, to submit to one another, which is nothing more than the practice of humility. To treat one another not arrogantly, but in humility. Now let's consider a parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And again, we're still dealing with, is there a command for applause or clapping? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And again, this is how one is filled with the Spirit. In fact, these two verses are parallel. One of them says, be filled with the Spirit. The other one says, how? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, nothing is authorized in the way of musical instruments, clapping, or any of the other things that we said. Notice also that it does not say, make vocal sounds. We have some, quote, brethren who go about and they don't use instruments of music, but they make sounds like instruments of music. Well, the passage doesn't say make vocal sounds. It says sing. It involves the teachings of words. And you know, all of us can go boop, 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 you know, and make sounds. And we can make some noise with our hands to sound like drums. We could all do that. But that's not what the verse says. That's not what the verse authorizes. Singing is spiritual. It's not carnal. And it's designed to please God, to praise God, and to teach each other. Now, notice verse 17. Not only is verse 17 true, period, but it's true especially in light of verse 16. And whatever you do in word, that's in your teaching, or deed, that's in what you practice, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, by His authority, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Again, what we do, what we teach, what we practice, must have Bible authority, or it is not to be done. Notice the way in this passage that singing is directly tied to the subject of authority. Hence, instrumental music and clapping have no authority, no command for applause. There is no example of it being done. You do not read about Christians singing while they're clapping hands. There is no implication that it ought to be done. What about it as an expedient? Well, how does that expedite anything? It doesn't. It's not an expediter of anything. It's an addition to what God said. So C stands for, is there a command? L stands for law. Some have tried to find biblical authority for clapping in the Bible. Okay, well, let's look at some of those passages. Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King. over all the earth. And someone might say, well, there you go. It says, clap your hands, all you people. All right, well, let's go to the next one, Psalm 98 and verse 8. Let the rivers clap their hands. Now, I'd like to literally see that. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. And then a third text is used from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12. Isaiah 55 and verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, obviously, some of these are being used in metaphoric terms. But suppose every one of these passages taught that hand clapping should accompany singing or should accompany teaching. We won't even argue the point. Suppose every one of them said that, even though some of them are obviously not to be taken literally. The fact is, however, that even if that were the case, every one of these is an Old Testament passage, and we don't live under the Old Testament, we live under the New Testament. And so we're going to the wrong place to try to find biblical authority for something. If you are going to take clapping, by the way, in Psalm 98 and verse 8, then back up to verses 5 and 6, where it says, sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. So if you're going to use this text to authorize clapping, you're going to have to use the same text to authorize instruments of music. But again, all of these are part of the Old Testament, which was nailed to the cross. Colossians 2 and verse 14, it was taken out of the way. That covenant was taken out of the way and nailed to the cross, and it's been replaced by the New Testament of Jesus Christ, also called the perfect law of liberty. Therefore, anyone appealing to the law for what we practice in worship today has fallen from grace. No, I didn't misspeak there. I'm saying what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. Let's go to Galatians 5 and read what Paul said. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, beginning with Galatians 5:1, by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, by a yoke of bondage, he's referring to the law, and you can find that in Acts chapter 15 also. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, what did he mean? Well, circumcision was part of the old covenant. If males were not circumcised, they were to be cut off from Israel. It was an absolute essential, not something to be bargained over, but an essential under that covenant. Therefore, some of the Jews who had become Christians argued that Gentiles, in order to be Christians, had to be circumcised, because under the law people had to be circumcised. And that's what Paul means. It says, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Why? Because the New Testament's different from the law. And no one has to be circumcised as a religious rite under the New Testament of Jesus Christ. It can be done for other reasons, but not for the religious reasons that it was done under the law. And I testify again, verse 3, to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. What? You're going to go back to the Old Testament and say, look, here it is in the Old Testament. Fine. Then you've got to do everything that's in the Old Testament. You can't just pick one thing. You can't just pick circumcision and say, well, I think everybody today ought to be circumcised. It says so in the law. Okay, well, the law also says a lot of other things. Like we studied this morning about the Day of Atonement and having those five animals prepared and the high priest being washed and then the high priest wearing the appropriate clothing that God had designated and then offering up a bull for his own sins and then making the other offerings for the people. You know, that has to be done every year. So if you want to go back and get circumcision, go back and get that. You got to take it all. You can't just pick one thing. And the same thing can be said of those who go back and say, well, look, they clap their hands under the old system. They use instruments of music under the old system. Fine, you want to go back there and do that? Don't do it without bringing over the Passover and the Day of Atonement and offering up various sacrifices, the sin offering, the peace offering, the grain offering, trespass offering. You got to do it all. You can't go back and pick one or two things that you like and say, we think we ought to do these. Now look at Galatians 5:4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. That's how serious a matter it is to go back to the Old Testament to try to justify what we're doing today. You have fallen from grace. So the question is, where does the New Testament authorize instruments of music or hand clapping or circumcision or the Day of Atonement? And the answer is, it does not. Those things are not expressly taught in the New Testament. So what law are we under? L is for law. The Old Testament law or the New Testament law? We are under the law of Christ. The law of Christ does not authorize hand clapping or instruments of music in worship. Now, the A stands for the Amen argument. It is argued that applause is just the same thing as saying an amen. And that sounds reasonable. There are certain ways that we can say, yeah, that sounds right. But is it true? What does the word amen mean? Approval? Yes. Oh, well, if amen just means approval, so does applause. So what's the difference? Well, amen means more than that. According to Nelson's Bible commentary, in Isaiah 65 and verse 16, the Lord is called the God of truth. The original Hebrew means the God of Amen. The God of Amen. The God of truth. Amen means truth. You are agreeing, not just approving, but you are agreeing that it is the truth when you say amen. This is Isaiah's way of saying that the Lord is the one who remains eternally true. Now others point out that amen not only refers to truth, but means it is and shall be so. Or so let it be. So amen is far than more than just approval. It is an admission that this is truth, and therefore let it be. It is, and so shall be. Amen in worship to God is reverential. But applause is offered to men. Spiritual things should be amened, not applauded. When someone is baptized, they have not done so to get the approval of men. They have done so in obedience to God. They are after God's approval. And we might say, amen, you have done what is true and what is right, but applause is inappropriate. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, we read, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God in his name. Notice that we are not to offer up God the fruit of our hands, but the fruit of our lips. And that brings us to the P in clap. Praise of whom? Praise of whom? For what purpose is the applause in worship? It is to praise the one who is prayed or singing or being baptized or preached. It would be just about as appropriate for members to line up here if I've preached a good sermon and we all do a high five. Is that appropriate? Well, it's just as appropriate as applause would be. And you might say, well, I've never heard of that, but maybe you haven't been around. There are some brethren who are, while they are speaking, the crowd interrupts with applause. And then he goes on speaking. And maybe they'll interrupt with applause again, kind of like a State of the Union speech, you know. And we get influenced by things of society and practice them when they don't have any place in the Lord's church. The purpose of applause is to praise men. The purpose of amen is to praise the truth and to praise God. So there are two entirely different purposes in mind. The purpose for worship and obedience is to praise God. Let's just take a quick run through a few passages, going back to Judges chapter 5 and verse 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And many such passages could be found. We're not going to look at all of them. But 1 Chronicles, I think, chapter 16 and verse 4. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the God of Israel. Notice they were not to praise the Levites. They were to praise the God of Israel. And we could go through several psalms, Psalm 67 and verse 5. Psalm 67 and verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And these could be multiplied several times over, as I'm sure you probably recall various passages. Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And then, if you're not aware of it, consider the last five Psalms, 146, 7, 8, 9, and 50. Everyone starts with praise the Lord. And everyone ends with praise the Lord. And you're likely to find the same thing in the middle also of many of these. In the New Testament, we also find that we are to praise God as we offer up singing, or just in general, our life is to be such that we praise God through the things that occur, as people are often reported of doing. For example, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, Jesus having healed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. You'll notice the people did not gather around Jesus and say, "Way to go, Lord." That would be inappropriate. When the miracles were done, God was the one who received the glory. And of course, that's the way it ought to be. We have precedent for that. We don't have precedence for what people are practicing today. So we have several examples, both in the Old and the New Testament, of praise being given to God. Now, if one can applaud during or after sermons, would it be all right to boo also? If the preacher says something that you don't like, would it be all right to go and throw tomatoes? Well, most preachers wouldn't want that, but they might not mind the applause. But if you can do one, why not the other? So some have added hand clapping to singing, which is clearly not authorized, just as instrumental music is not authorized. Others are clapping hands during sermons, after songs, and at baptisms. None of these are commanded. And by the way, years ago, I began to wonder about this when sometimes singing groups would come in and they would sing praises to God and brethren would applaud. Why are they applauding? They're not praising God, they're praising the singers. But it's the message that's important. It's the spiritual aspect of singing that's important. But we have gotten to the point where we are applauding how well somebody sings instead of the fact that they're praising God as they're doing it. None of those things are commanded. None of these things are authorized in the perfect law of liberty. Applause is not the same thing as an amen. One honors God and His truth with an amen. Applause honors men, not God. Praise belongs to God. Now, Brother Whitlock pointed out at the end of his message that as a child, he was taught that if you borrow something, be sure you take it back. You've all heard that, right? When you borrow something, don't keep it. Take it back. Well, to those brethren who have borrowed these things from denominations, we want to encourage, take it back to the denominations you got it from. And let us go instead by the Scriptures, by what the Bible teaches, by what the Bible authorizes. Let's not become engaged with the practices of men, but rather to the desires of God, and let us make it our will to praise Him. This evening, if there is anyone who needs to obey the gospel, to repent of sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you've studied and you know what all that involves, we invite you to come. If you are already a child of God, but you have gone astray, we certainly want to invite you to return and pray for you in that regard. Please come while we stand and while we sing. Lord, the door is